The disciples as learners. The disciples as learners. I wonder what the point was of Jesus having a group of disciples as he did. Why did he choose them? He could have just gone around and preached on his own. He was the master. He was the leader. And yet he chose to enclose himself with these disciples. And certainly one of the reasons I think he was doing that is because of what the dictionary tells me a disciple is. A disciple is a person who follows the teaching of a leader. A person who follows the teaching of a leader. He called them as learners. We might call them trainees. In the passage, Jesus offered the 12 this opportunity for practical learning. We would call it on-the-job learning, wouldn't we? Off the job, you go to college, you learn all the theory. On the job, you've actually got to put that theory into practice. And Rosemary had an experience this week where she was faced with a question. She had to go for a routine blood test, and she went into the torture chamber room, you know, that you go into, and the nurse was there, and there was a trainee. And the nurse said, "Would it be all right if the trainee took your blood?" So Rosemary said she gulped a bit when she said yes, because she said, it's all very well these people learning in theory how to do it. They've got to do it in practice. And so she offered up her arm and her veins to the trainee. It didn't quite work out very well, but of course the trainee has to learn from their mistakes as well as their successes. It's a bit like the driving test these days. It wasn't in my day, but nowadays you've got to do a theory test, haven't you? And you can pass the theory tests, but it doesn't make you a driver, does it? You might know all the signs and all that, but it doesn't help you get in a car and work out clutch, gears, pedals, mirror, and all the rest of it. You need the practical, hands-on doing of it to become proficient. And these 12 had been with Jesus for probably well over a year by now. They'd been with him, they'd heard his teaching and how he did it. They'd seen his miracles and how he did them. They'd witnessed his compassion and power and how he dealt with individuals who came to him. And now this was their opportunity to put into practice what they'd seen and learned from Jesus himself. Here was this opportunity for them to go out to bring the same message that Jesus was preaching to others, the message of God's kingdom and the healing of diseases, as a validation of the message they were bringing. Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but with the disciples, they could be spread out and they could cover much further ground. I assume they went in twos. Luke didn't tell us, but I assume they went in twos. So that would be six different groups going out, spreading the gospel, spreading the good news of how people could come to God. And other gospels tell us their message was one of repentance. Repent and turn to God. And that's the message they took with them. And so what they had to do was to step out of having Jesus with them, close to them, to actually doing it for themselves. And the question I want to ask is, how did they learn? How did they learn? Well, the first thing I think was they learned from example. They learned from example. They learned from Jesus. We've got to call him the greatest teacher. As we see in the story of the 5,000, people traveled for miles to listen and see Jesus. They stayed all day listening to the teaching and watching what was going on with Jesus. Now, you don't get that nowadays, do you? You know, 20 minutes, people are fed up, they're checking their phones, and they're just not interested. But there was something about Jesus, of course there was. There's something about his person, because of who he was, that drew people to himself. And he was the master of teaching. And now these 12 have to go out and do this for themselves. But they've got his example to follow. I can imagine that what they repeated was the words that they heard Jesus repeat. I imagine the way they did the healings was the way that they'd seen Jesus do the healings. They must have been apprehensive. It's difficult going out on your own, isn't it? Launching out. I remember after I passed my driving test, going out in the car for the very first time on my own. It was a bit scary. There's nobody sitting next to me to say, watch out for that, do this, take care of that. You were all on your own. I wonder if those 12 had those same feelings as they sent out, as they went out. But however, they did go. And it seems their mission was a great success. So they learn from example, from Jesus' example. They learned too from experience, didn't they? At the end of this trip, at the end of this mission, they could look back and say, well, that went well, or that didn't go very well, or I could have said that a bit better. We don't know how long their mission lasted. I assume it was weeks rather than days. But there was one clear statement we had at the beginning of a reading which made all the difference to them as they set out. We read that Jesus gave them power and authority. Jesus gave them power and authority. He delegated to them and imparted to them something of his own power to these 12 men for this temporary period of mission. That made all the difference. They were going not just in their own strength, but in the strength and power that Jesus provided. What did they learn? Well, they learned trust. Did you notice the instructions Jesus gave them? Boy, they were a bit tough. You remember what he said? No staff. You know, nothing to help you walk. You just go. He said, no bag. If you haven't got a bag, you're not taking any extras. No spare clothes, no spare shoes, no writing implements, no paper, no bag. Then he said, no food. Oh, no food. So what happens to tomorrow when you've eaten what you're carrying? What then? He said, don't take any money. Well, not only have you got no food, you've got no money to buy any. And then he says, don't take an extra cloak. Just take what you've got. It's a tough lesson for them, wasn't it? A tough learning experience. How were they going to live? There was no backup plan. There's no reserves. There's no helicopter to fly in and rescue them. They're on their own. But they're not, are they? They had to learn to trust in God, that he would provide for them, not a month in advance that they could take with them, but day by day. They had to trust him when they got up in the morning that there would be somebody who would give them some food, and trust him when they went to bed at night that they had a bed to sleep in. That's tough trust, isn't it? But they did it. The second thing was, they had to accept what was provided. Jesus said to them, if somebody offers you hospitality for the night and a meal, don't, you know, turn up your nose at it if it's a bit smelly and a bit dirty and it's a bit of a hovel. If they offer it, you take it. No hanging out for the 5-star accommodation up the road. If it's offered, you take it. And you stay there. You don't go around hawking around the rest of the places looking for another place. You accept what you've been given. No complaining. No thinking you're too good for a place like this. They had to learn humility. And the third thing they learned from experience was rejection. Jesus said to them, there will be places that will not receive you. Not everyone will be bowled over by the message. Not everyone will accept it with an open heart and open arms. Some places will say, we don't want you here. Get out. And Jesus says to them, don't get demoralized. Don't be angry. Don't be bitter or resentful. Move on to the next place. They experienced rejection and they came to terms with it. And you can just imagine them getting back to Jesus and reporting all they've done. There was this man who we healed, and there was this woman, and there was this child. And people responded, and they turned to God, and they're going into the synagogue, and they're praising him there. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. They were expecting a nice, quiet debriefing session. And Jesus wanted to take them aside so they could just have some time just to, you know, relax and get back to normal, as it were. But it didn't happen like that. The crowds were so keen to hear him that they were chasing Jesus around. And this led to Jesus on this all-day teaching session with the crowd. Over 5,000 people there, plus women and children, all listening to Jesus. We read what happened. The disciples were concerned as the day went on. They're saying to him, "Lord, look, it's time to send them away. It's getting dark. They haven't had any food for a while. They need to get away. They need to find somewhere to stay overnight if necessary, if they've traveled a long way. You need to stop." I mean, in one sense, it was sensible, wasn't it? And that might be the sort of thing that we would say. But the Lord had other ideas. And I think that this story of the 5,000, the disciples learned from testing. You remember, perhaps, I hope, in the story that the Lord said to them, "No, I'm not going to send them away. You feed them. You, 12, what are you going to do about it?" Now, in one of the other Gospels, we learn that Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he did this to test them. To test them. Why do you test people? You want them to learn. And I think that what the Lord wanted them to learn was, yes, there were problems and difficulties, and one of the things they could have done but didn't do was to come to the Lord and say, "We can't do it, but we believe you can." They didn't say that, did they? They learned this idea of trust again, of allowing the Lord to take control of the situation and to work with him in that. They had their solutions, of course. You know, 5,000 people, £1.50 a head for a Big Mac on special offer, you know, that says £7,500. You know, what have they got? You know, I've got enough for that. Well, we could ask around and see what people have got. We might be able to share it out. And they find a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they sort of come back to the Lord. It seems to be an enormous sarcastic way, saying, "You know, we got this boy here, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Come on. What's that going to do amongst so many?" But the Lord took that small amount that was given and amplified it. Amplified the small into big, that he might work this wonderful miracle. A miracle which, just for interest, is the only miracle mentioned in all 4 Gospels. It's an important miracle. It struck people's hearts and minds, and it's there for us today. I think the lesson that Jesus was teaching them when he said to them, "You feed my sheep," I think the key to that is what Mark tells us about the crowd. Jesus looked at the crowd, and he said in his heart, he felt he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And I think the Lord was beginning to teach these disciples that one day their role would be to feed the sheep. "You feed them," he said. There was a day coming after the church was established on Pentecost when they would be the feeders. Spiritual food, not physical food, for the believers. You remember after the resurrection, in fact, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You have a part to play in this, you 12. You're to be involved in this feeding. You're to work with me in this." And the disciples, I think, did learn from the test. They were involved, in fact, in the feeding, weren't they? When Jesus took charge of what was going on. Jesus took the fish and the bread. He gave thanks. He broke them. He kept on breaking. He kept on and on and on. And the food was being multiplied again and again and again. And the disciples were given the job of handing it out to people who are waiting. And they collected up those 12 baskets that were left over. 12 people, disciples, 12 baskets, something there for them to think about as well. Everyone had enough, more than enough, when Jesus was involved and they were working with him. Let's go on to the challenge for us. How can we go on learning? I'm going to use the same slides. We can learn from example. We can learn from example. The greatest example that we should be learning from, as we've already seen from the Lord's words in Matthew 11, is Jesus himself. We should learn from his teaching. We should learn from his miracles. We should learn from his prayer life. We should learn from the sinless life he led. We should learn from his perseverance. We should learn from his close relationship he kept with God, his Father. We should learn from his compassion. We should learn from his self-sacrifice. And it's good that we can come to church and learn from God's word, and as we're going through the Gospels, pick up these things to learn from the example of Jesus. But we can also learn from the example of other believers. We can learn from people we know or people whose stories we read in books, how they coped, how they grew in their faith, how they learned things like the power of prayer. And by following the example of others, other godly men and women, we too can learn. But we need to open our minds. We have to have that intention that we want to learn. You know, it must be really difficult in schools where you've got a teacher at the front and you've got a class of 30 pupils and you've got 10% of them just don't want to learn. It's so difficult for them, isn't it? But so much better for the other 25 who are really keen to learn. It's a pleasure. And they're growing and developing. And that's how it should be for us in our Christian lives. Despite the storms and the difficulties and the wind and all we've been talking about, through it all, we can go on learning and growing. Persevering, keeping on. The second thing we can do is learn from experiences. Hopefully I'm a different sort of Christian I was than when I was 21. If I haven't grown at all and I haven't learned from the experiences of life, whatever they might be, it's a pretty poor show. And the Bible wants us to see God's hand at work in our lives, to have the experience of trusting him day by day. And as we trust him in the small things, we can grow to trust him, hopefully, in the big things too. Through the good times and the bad, we can learn that we can trust God as those disciples had to. They had no reserves, no backup. They had to trust in God, and that should be our way of moving forward too. It's great that we know the truth. It's great that we know our doctrine. It's great we can say what we believe. But we've also got to live it out in practical ways, day by day. And lastly, we can learn, says the scriptures, from testing. Sometimes God allows tests in our lives as he tested those disciples that we might learn. And this is what 1 Peter chapter 1 says. He's writing to readers who are going through times of difficulty and trouble. The storms are there. The difficulties, the weariness, and all that we had in Isaiah 32. He says this, "Now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Out of the test came something worthwhile. It proved the genuineness of their faith, that they kept on persevering and holding on to God, even in difficult times. And that results in praise and glory and honor. And when Jesus is revealed, when he takes us to be with himself, when there is that assessment made of us, there will be that praise and honor given to us too. Out of testing and perseverance, the disciples' faith was proved genuine and real. And if we are going through testing times, may we learn from this testing time too, that there is something positive that we can take from it. I want to close with a reading from our daily Bible readings that we do. And it's relevant because the writer is talking about perseverance and keeping on. And the writer says, I once asked a man how things were going in his life. He paused for a moment and said, do you want the usual Christian cliches? Or do you want an honest reply? I told him, I want an honest reply. He responded, well, I'm growing and I'm learning. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. Sometimes there are more growing and learning days than great and fantastic days. If the Christian life is anything, it's about persevering in the face of the obstacles and struggles of life. God gives us the grace to do that. But once again, we must throw our will on the side of grace. Triumph, someone once said, is just oomph added to try. There is a need for trusting and there is a need for trying. Keep on trusting and keep on trying. As we do both, we grow. Is that your testimony? I'm growing and I'm learning.